Guys, I want to ask you to turn to Acts 17, and I want to share just a couple of thoughts, and then we're gonna pray. You know, one of the things that you kept hearing in this story is God had a plan. God had a plan. God had a plan, and I think it's amazing when we listen and hear people's stories. And the fact is that we all have stories. And, you know, Jimmy and Daphne, God is working out his plan in their lives. But over here in Acts 17, starting in verse 16, it says, while Paul was waiting for them, and that was Paul and Silas, in Athens, he was greatly distressed to see that the city was full of idols. Acts 17, verse 17. So he reasoned in the synagogue with both Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. A group of Epicurean and Stoic philosophers began to debate with him. Some of them asked, what is this babbler trying to say? Others remarked, he seems to be advocating foreign gods. They said this because Paul was preaching the good news about Jesus and the resurrection. Verse 19, then they took him and brought him to the meeting of the Areopagus, where they said to him, may we know what this new teaching is that you are presenting? You are bringing some strange ideas to our ears, and we would like to know what they mean. All the Athenians and the foreigners who lived there spent their time doing nothing but talking about and listening to the latest ideas. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, brothers of people of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at the objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And that is what I am going to proclaim to you. Verse 24, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. He is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history in the boundaries of their lands. You know, the NIV 84 says the exact places where they should live. Verse 27, why did he do that? God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Verse 29, Acts 17, verse 29. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. When they heard about the resurrection of the dead, some of them sneered, but others said, we want to hear you again on this subject. At that, Paul left the council. Some of the people became followers of Paul and believed. Among them was Diosthenes, a member of the Areopagus, also a woman named Damaris and a number of others. You know, brothers, this is amazing how when Luke is writing this and he's recounting this story that Paul experienced, and he's jotting down kind of what happened. And I think it's interesting how Paul was, he wasn't there to preach the word and do what, he was just kind of waiting. But as he looked around, God did something in his heart. And, you know, one of the first things that jumped out at me is, you know, verse 16, it says, Paul became distressed by all the idolatry in Athens while waiting for Timothy and Silas. And as I said, he didn't plan on preaching. He didn't plan, he planned on waiting. But his heart was so moved by the idolatry that he couldn't help but speak. He then preached in the synagogues. He then preached in the marketplace. And we have the option, personally, of allowing our hearts to be moved by the spiritual needs around us, or we have the choice to be numb or to be busy. But God, brothers, God wants our hearts. And he not only wants our hearts, but he wants our hearts to be moved. Because you got to remember, God is always trying to motivate us to act for him. That's part of why it's so important that we spend time with him. So that when we get up and we get out, we have this mindset that we're here and we're living and breathing because of one reason. He woke us up. He keeps us going. He gives us breath. He gives us life and everything else. And when you understand that and you realize that, man, you want to please your Father. You want to please the one that's literally keeping you going. See, we are his mouth. We are the feet. And God is constantly trying to get us to act on his behalf. And see, we have to keep the right mindset. We have to pray to be spiritually in tune with God so that he moves our hearts and uses us as he sees fit. There's not one of us that God did not put us in a situation where we could help meet a spiritual need, meet a physical need, meet an emotional need, say a prayer. He has just constantly got us in situations so that he might be known. You know, Jeremiah 20 verse 9 says, if I say, I will not mention him or speak anymore in his name. His word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. He says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. See, God wants to move our hearts, brothers. Secondly, Paul didn't wait for the ideal opportunity to share the good news. He didn't wait until the person came walking by with their Bible and saying, you know, I've been reading this Bible, but I don't know what it means. You know, who thou art and this and that. He didn't do that. He used any and every opportunity God put in his way. We see people use different opportunities to share the gospel throughout the New Testament. Think about it. Jesus shared with a woman at the well. He shared with a blind man who was begging. He shared with a woman whose brother had just died, and he shared with a thief dying on a cross. Paul shared with a woman at the riverbank. Paul shared with a jailer after an earthquake, and people who happened to be in the marketplace. See, we need to see everywhere we go, every time we interact with someone, is an opportunity that God has presented to us. And when we see things in that light, we simply need to open our mouths and speak. You know, I shared a few weeks ago that we had a Bible study at the Panera in Montclair, and I had to leave, and Taj was actually leading the study. And so I left, and then, you know, he kept going, and this gentleman came by and said, "That's impressive. You know, you young guys sitting here studying the Bible," and kind of invited himself into that study. And so since then, he's gotten together a couple times with the guys, and he was at church on Sunday because brothers were actually out studying the Bible. He's seen it. He said, "Hey, I like what I see. What's going on over here?" And invited himself. And he was at church on Sunday, and he's going to be studying again, I believe it's Saturday. But opportunities are all around us, brothers. You know, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and 16 says, "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity." Why? "Because the days are evil." Colossians 4, verse 5 says, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone." Paul understood this heart of making the most of every opportunity. Brothers, we have been given opportunities after opportunities, but we got to make sure we're seeing those opportunities. You skip down in this chapter to verse 26, and this is what I love about this story, and how it even relates to the story we heard for Jimmy and Daphne. It says in verse 26 and 27 that God determined the exact times and places where people would live. Why? So that they have a chance to get to know him and become disciples. Brothers, God has handpicked your neighbors to live where they are so that you can help them find God. God knows people's hearts and prayers and has the ability to prompt people and to move them in certain places, in certain areas, and going to the mall at this time and going over here to have lunch. All in an effort to get them near disciples who believe that God gives us breath and life and everything else so that people might get to know who he is. God is constantly at work. In fact, he's working hard, prompting people like this guy, Jamie, to interject himself, make a comment, and then be open And the funny thing is, this guy could be Taj's dad, but yet he was willing to hear and learn from this young man and open himself up because he's seeking. See, we have to work with God and be aware of how powerfully and specifically he's working. You know, lastly, I know some of us, you know, we've been praying prayers for a long time. And, you know, some prayers are for family members, some prayers are for, you know, different situations. And I want to encourage us to remember, guys, that God is always at work. Because Paul believed that, because Paul's heart was moved by God, because Paul said, hey, I'm going to make the most of this opportunity. You know, in that passage, it says that a member of the Areopagus became a Christian. And also a number of others. And it's not just about people becoming Christians. It's about the fact that God is working with us. He's with us. He's working through us. And boy, there is nothing more exciting than when you realize and recognize that he's working through you. Now, the funny thing about that too is that sometimes he's working on our hearts, helping us see things about ourselves, helping us see our sin, helping us grow and develop that muscle of confession and being open, or being honest, being humble. And part of how he does that is through, you know, situations. So 2 weeks ago, my mom was here and we celebrated her birthday. So my brother and I organized a little dinner at my grandmother's house. And, you know, my brother's known, you know, he was in my wedding. He's known about the church for 30, basically my whole Christian life. And he said, you know, man, I don't agree with what you believe. He said, but you know what? I respect what I see. And I was like, dude, you're killing me here. What are you talking about? And I thought, okay, sometimes we don't realize our family, our people are always watching. And guys, let me tell you, you've been doing it 30-something year, 20-something year, 10 years, what have you. They see it. And although they may not be humble and open, they're impressed with what God is doing in your life. Even if you may not be impressed, even if you may not be fired up, the reality is God's given us his spirit. And my brother, you know, was telling me something about one of his coworkers who's a friend, you know, of the family. And I said to him, I said, Ty, you know that the greatest leader of all time is Jesus, right? And he's like, well, that's debatable. And, you know, we go back and forth a little bit. But what happened was he asked me, well, why do you say that? And I got an opportunity to share with him John 13, where Jesus washes the disciples' feet, and how Jesus, his way of leadership was different and more powerful, because not only did he set an example, it's the way he treated people. And I said, you know, leadership is all about how you treat people, you know, and he learned what he learned from his father, and then he's passing it on here to these disciples. And, you know, people have just been, robbing from Jesus for centuries and writing books, making money. But he's the one And, you know, he said, man, he said, I can, you know, I could see that. And so he goes, tell me why you believe what you believe. And again, my brother is not, he is a worldly dude. And he goes, it's about science. It's about facts. And I said, do you really believe that? He's like, yeah. I said, well, all I need is time, because science and archaeology will help you to understand what's really, really going on. And he got nervous. And, I'm not like that serious. Because he wouldn't give me the time. But brothers, what I'm saying is God is working. And we have to be in tune with what he's doing so that we can see the opportunities that are right in front of us. God brought Jimmy and his wife here. The circumstances are terrible. Can you imagine living kind of rich and you come to America and you're no longer a doctor, you're no longer this, but they couldn't be more joyful because he found God. And now he's got real hope. He's got eternal life. And he's got a belief that God has got a plan for him and his family. And so as we close out here, I just want to encourage us, guys, keep giving ourselves to God like Paul did. And let's pray for God to keep moving our hearts, because there's no telling what God has in store when we allow him to be who he is in our lives. And whether it's relatives, whether it's coworkers, whether it's neighbors or whatever, God has a plan for each and every person that you and I see, hear, every single person, he's got a plan. And so with that, let's close out here with a prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. I do want to ask the single brothers if you guys can stay on, and we're going to have a little meeting. But let's pray. God in heaven, thank you again for being who you are. Father, we know that you don't make mistakes. We know that you put us all in the places that we are for a reason. And we thank you for what you're doing. We thank you that you know the hearts of everybody, and that you just put us where we are to do what you would want us to do. And sometimes that's just being there, listening. Sometimes that's asking questions and not feeling like you got to have the answers and, you know, stuff the Bible down somebody's throat, but to just ask questions and, hey, you know, you open to hear a different perspective. But God, I pray that you help us as men to be not just impressed with Paul, help us to imitate Paul's heart and his life. And Father, specifically, I pray that you would help us to be moved by you, by your word. I pray that you help us to see the opportunities around us. Again, even, you know, tonight, God, what needs can be met? How can we help, you know, in some way in building someone else up? But please, God, continue to work on our hearts so that we can be all that you created us to be and that you called us to be. I pray for all of the dads here on the call. Father, thank you for just their hearts. Thank you for their love, and not just the dads, but the granddads. I just pray that you would help those men to keep having that long-term vision, that we're not in it for the quick this or quick that, but man, one day we want to be together with you in heaven. And God, the things that we do now will help pave the way. For those of us that are unmarried and maybe we have kids, maybe we don't, God, I pray that you help us to be imitatable, like that we want to learn and we want to grow and not just kind of go with the flow, but to really have the right mindset and perspective, which is your perspective. Help us be learners, all of us. And God, again, we just thank you. We love you. And we pray all this in your son, Jesus' name. Amen.